Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to episode number 200 of the Giant Take podcast. My name is Josh and I am joined by my friend and co-host Alex. And we have reached a milestone here on the Giant Take podcast while reaching our second Giants loss of this 2022 season. And Alex and I talked about it right before recording. Of course, it has to come on a loss this episode. In this winning season, this season of miraculous win, after miraculous win, we decide to land episode number 200 after the Seattle Seahawks recap, which we know is going to be a tough game, but obviously as Giants fans, hoping we can record our recap, with excitement and happiness and, you know, all around have a full circle episode 200 special moment of a recap. And the Giants let us down, and they head into the bye with a loss after we talked about in the preview how crucial a win would really be for this team heading into the bye week. But whatever it is, a 6-2 record, Alex, especially with the way we were going into the season, is a pretty good freaking record to head into the bye week with. I am beyond ecstatic for where this team is right now in the grand scheme of things of the NFL. And the NFC East, standings-wise, obviously it could be better. We didn't expect the Eagles or the Cowboys to look as good as they're doing either, just like they didn't expect us to look this good. So the Giants right now, they sit third in the NFC East, obviously 6-2, just like those Dallas Cowboys, except the other loss came against them, so they get the upper hand in the head-to-head matchup, and somehow the Eagles are still undefeated, so they sit atop the NFC East. But yes, the Giants lose by a score of 27-13, and Alex and I are here to talk about it. Alex, I know it's a little depressing for this one, especially with such a grand big episode for us here after doing this for almost whatever it is now, almost 3 years, the podcast, right? Yeah, almost 3 years coming up in the spring. But episode 200, how you feeling?
I mean, I'm ecstatic about episode 200 because it's been a long journey. And to be honest, to get to episode 200 is kind of crazy thinking about, you know, how most of these episodes, you know, they range obviously from 20 to 40 minutes or whatever. Sometimes they've gone even longer, especially in our earlier episodes. But I feel like, you know, Josh and I actually calculated this, like how many hours of our, these recordings have taken. And then obviously that's not even including all the work we do outside of actually recording and listening, you know, recording the actual content, the research before, the editing, etc. And it, you know, it was a lot of time. So that's really what I think of episode 200. I'm thinking, wow, we've put a lot of time into this, and you know, I'm proud of what we've accomplished. I'd like to say, in terms of the Giants, I'm not proud of what they accomplished today, but I am proud of what they accomplished this season so far. 6-2 going into the bye. If you told me that we were going to be 6-2 going into the bye week, into week 9, I would say you are crazy, and I would say you're probably thinking 2-6, and I think 2-6 going into the bye is probably where I expected us to be, maybe 3-5, and the fact that the Giants are 6-2, Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, those guys have done a masterful job, and you look at this team today, there's not a lot of talent on this roster, and the fact that they've been able to, you know, put all these pieces together and really work this team to get these tight wins over teams like the Titans, the Ravens, the Packers, and then obviously even against teams like the Bears and who else have we played? I'm trying to think, the Jaguars, right? So, they're impressive wins. Obviously, this Seahawks team, I think, is a lot better than a lot of people give them credit for. They have a pretty solid defense. And then obviously I think Geno Smith is actually turning into quite a decent quarterback, and they got a lot of weapons at wide receiver. Kenneth Walker is really dangerous as well, as we saw. And it was just kind of a matchup that just didn't go our way. Obviously, a few unlucky moments, which we'll get to in a minute, but certainly it's not one of those games that leaves me, you know, heartbroken. I think it was just we were outplayed today by the better team, and we, you know, didn't end up winning. And I think that's basically what Brian Daboll said in the press conference. They were just better than us in every aspect of the game.
Yeah, Alex. I mean, I think you said it pretty much close to perfectly, to where that they just out-rostered us in that basic asset of the game. If you really think about it, they out-depth charted us. You could say it that way too. And I think listeners or watchers, if you're watching the episode on YouTube, you know exactly what we're talking about. You know, the team that has a wide receiving core that's more than just one guy. And for right now, the Giants' one guy is rookie Wandale Robinson. And when it's not him, it's Darius Slayton, and that is not DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett. It's not even close to that. And you look at our running back, which today is normally who carries us and throughout the season has really put the team on his back in most of these situations, running and passing the ball. That's Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley today, he just could not get it going. I think it was partly because the Giants were missing Ben Bredesen, who's now on IR, and then Neal missing the game today. The Giants had to make some changes on that offensive line. I think it's partly Seattle Seahawks and their defensive line. They have a pretty good, you know, defense. And maybe it's also Saquon Barkley, the running back himself. He just didn't have the day that he wanted. He wasn't able to break through tackles like we've seen him. He wasn't able to split the gaps like we've seen him do so far this season. So I think that was, you know, that's what happened there. And then Daniel Jones. And obviously, we'll break this down a little bit, you know, heavier. We're just kind of, we start these with like kind of like the basic overview. Daniel Jones, I think this is the first game I would say this season for Daniel Jones where I did not like what I saw from him on the field today. I thought there were a few overthrows, and there were throws he needed to hit. There was one specific one. The receiver was wide open. I don't remember who it was specifically.
The tight end who came up from the practice squad. Yeah.
Yep. Correct. He got elevated this week, had the guy wide open. And Mark Sanchez, who, by the way, Mark Sanchez and Kevin Kugler on the call today, I'd like to give them credit. Obviously, you know, I'm a huge like broadcasting fan. It's what I want to do with career path wise. I thought they were absolutely amazing on the call today. And Mark Sanchez especially does a great job of analysis, similar to like you see former you know, players doing now, getting on calls, especially like Tony Romo is the big guy calling, predicting plays in the future. Greg Olson is also in the broadcasting. But I'd like to give a special shout out to Mark Sanchez because I think he did great in the booth, giving the aspect and more insight analysis on the game. But anyway, for that Daniel Jones, though, he was saying that a quarterback, obviously him being a former quarterback, seeing that open receiver and getting a little too excited and jittery that you just kind of want to throw it to them. You don't actually want to take that extra foot, plant it, take a deep breath, inhale, exhale, turn your waist and throw that ball and make sure it kind of loops into the receiver's hands because you don't want to throw them behind them either. And Daniel Jones just didn't do that. He saw that open wide receiver, got probably really excited and just immediately threw it and absolutely overthrew him. This is the first game that I would say I saw Daniel Jones and would call him underperforming for me today. Besides that, he's been playing up, Alex, for that new contract. And that's something that, as we go into this bye week, maybe in our episode like later this week that we record, that might be one of the talking points we do. I don't know what we're going to do later this week. We'll have to like talk about that. But maybe it's, you know, we'll talk about Daniel Jones and if he deserves the contract. And right now, I would say he's playing up to this contract. But in this game, he was not whatsoever. So that's what I have to say there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the two players you mentioned, I'll go a little bit more in depth here. Saquon Barkley, 20 rushes, 53 yards, a touchdown, and then 3 receptions for 9 yards. It really felt like Saquon Barkley, this was just my feeling today. It almost felt like we were going back to last year for Saquon Barkley today, where he seemed a little bit hesitant at times, was trying to, you know, do a few too many jump cuts, wasn't just running, you know, I think direct enough like we saw him do all throughout the beginning of this season. It almost felt like he went back to the Joe Judge days, which was kind of weird how that all turned out. Saquon just didn't look the same today. I don't know if, you know, there was something different that happened. I don't think so. You know, you got to give respect to the Seattle defense. They shut down the run well, but For a defense that's notorious for not exactly being the best against the run, it was quite shocking that they weren't able to use Saquon Barkley that effectively. And you could see when Saquon Barkley has a bad game, the Giants have a bad game. And I think that's pretty, pretty much shows how reliant the Giants are on Saquon Barkley on offense. And I think, you know, hopefully he can get back on track after the bye week and some of these offensive linemen, kind of get a little bit more cohesion together, with a few more practices. And then Daniel Jones, like you said, he definitely had a couple of overthrows. There was that Matt Breida one that was overthrown as well. There was, that last pass on that fourth down that he just threw it right at the defender was misthrown. And I feel like it felt like he was almost a little bit jittery. I think Seattle's a tough place to play as a quarterback. We know that, loud, very loud. I don't really know what else other words to use besides loud. So it's tough. He was in the silent count most of the game. And then obviously, when you don't have a lot of weapons, when you have practice squad guys you're throwing to, no offense to them, it's really hard to make plays. And I think that was just the issue for Daniel Jones. He just didn't have any weapons and they couldn't do anything in the run game to help him out and kind of take some of that pressure off his back, especially in a high energy, a high volume stadium like the Seahawks stadium. You really need the run game to kind of propel your offense so that you take some of the pressure off the quarterback's shoulders. And we weren't able to do that today. So I think that was, kind of the big issue for Daniel Jones. And then obviously the kind of coming from the issues with Saquon Barkley and that offensive line not being able to get the run game going.
Alex, I forget now, who's the offensive lineman that started today that in replacement of Bredesen?
So Azudu started in replacement of Bredesen, and then Tyree Phillips started in replacement of
Tyree Phillips. That's what I meant, Tyree Phillips in the replacement of Neal. He just was, I don't know if he wasn't ready for the game today, but I mean, it showed that he was a backup. He got multiple false start penalties against him that, was crucial for the Giants, missed a couple key blocks. It was just kind of unfortunate for him.
To be honest, I would say almost that the offensive line and pass protection was not bad today. I thought they were actually pretty solid most of the time, like good 80% of the time. It just felt like in the run game, they missed Evan Neal and Ben Bredesen a lot. In the passing game, I don't think it was as distinguishable as it was in the running game. And I think more of Daniel Jones's struggles were not because he didn't have time in the pocket. It was more that his guys just weren't getting open.
I mean, and we could talk about the receivers, in the passing game. Again, the Giants do not have top quality talent at the wide receivers position. It's just, it's what's true. You look to Darius Slayton today. He had 5 catches for 66 yards. I know that's Alex's boy, so I'm sure he's happy about that. Tanner Hudson having 3 catches for 58 yards, now being the starting tight end. If the Giants don't make a move by the trade deadline, he will be the starting tight end for a while. Most likely for the rest of the season, if not very close up to that point when Daniel Bellinger can hopefully make his return. But for right now, that's just what we're living with at the tight end position. And then, wide receiver, we are living with Wanda Robinson and Darius Slayton for the foreseeable future. If Kenny Golladay decides to get himself back on the field and not injured for, in 2 weeks when he literally has a bye to rest plus get back on the practice field, and he wants to decide, let me play with my $72 million contract, then maybe we'll see him in a couple weeks. But anyway, we're rocking with Darius Slayton and Wanda Robinson right now. Don't have Kadarius Toney anymore. As you know, he was traded to the Kansas City Chiefs, so he's gone. And you look to David Sills and Marcus Johnson behind them. So it's really thin. I mean, we've been saying it all season, but now it's more than ever because even Kadarius Toney is not there to maybe look forward to in the future. He's gone. He got traded. So it's even thinner than it was beforehand. So that's where we're looking at the wide receivers.
What I would also say in terms of the wide receiving room, I think you look at players like Darius Slayton right now. I think he's a solid wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4. Maybe a decent wide receiver 2 in a pinch. And I think Wandell Robinson really is just a slot guy. I don't think he has the flexibility that some people thought. I don't think he's like a Sterling Shepard or even like a Kadarius Toney in a way that he could play on the outside. I just don't think he's built for that. And we kind of saw that in this game in the slot. He played, quite a few snaps in the slot, never really on the outside, obviously. When we were in any 2 or 1 tight end set or 1 receiver sets, he was just not on the field. I think, it's a struggle to get him involved a little bit from the slot at times. And we saw that today. He only had 2 receptions. He was targeted a few times. But I kind of feel like Wandale Robinson, I think he has the potential to be really good, but I don't think he's going to be an every down, your alpha wide receiver that the, Giants need. Kind of what we thought Kenny Golladay would be. And hopefully, maybe he can be towards the end of the season, but I'm not getting my hopes up about that. I think that's the real issue at the wide receiver position. You've got, Darius Slayton, who can be, a nice piece in a wide receiver room, but not the guy. And then I think, Wandale Robinson, another guy who can be a nice piece. But none of these guys are going to be, your every down target that you can just look to at any time. I just don't think they're there, those type of receivers. And then at the tight end position, Tanner Hudson, Chris Myrick, they're all right. They'll do a job, but I don't think Myrick. I think they do a job, but it's not like they're not going to do anything explosive in the passing game. I think Daniel Bellinger really was a really nice target for Daniel Jones. I think you could see how much he missed him in this game, and that was really the lack of the receiving threat for the Giants, and it was really all on Saquon Barkley, and when he couldn't produce today, it was just all over for the Giants offense.
All right, Alex, we've been talking for a while. We have to get to this man eventually. The destroyer of the Giants special teams tonight.
Crusher of dreams.
Crusher of dreams, crusher of wins, crusher of episode number 200 of the Giant Take podcast. And that is who I'm sure all you fans are thinking of. Yes, that is Richie James, the punt and kick returner for the New York Giants. Or just punt returner, right? I think Brightwell.
Yeah, he's just punt returner. And, he used to be in the offense quite involved getting, as a receiver. But he hasn't been lately at all
recently,
the past few games. Yeah. So, odd, maybe. Well, now it kind of explains some things. But continue.
So, Richie James today, two crucial punt muffs. Sorry, I got ahead of myself a little bit. And then also on the one of them gets concussed. When he lost the ball, his head kind of flew back and the back of his head hit the turf. And immediately I knew, I was like, concussion, he's out. Because I remember with Tua Tagovailoa when he got injured and got that concussion earlier this season, it was when everyone saw him fall back, hit his head on the back of the turf, got up, and then that's when he stumbled. Remember there was that whole scene, Alex, and then the trainer, brought him back out, and there was the whole controversy of how are you not diagnosing him with a concussion? He hit the back of his head. So that's exactly what happened to Richie James, and right when I saw the replay and it hit the back of his head, I was like, he's that's a concussion. He's out of the game. And then the car came out. So it really sucks for Richie James. I know he wants to do better. That's just special teams, little tiny mistakes that obviously, if they were different and if they didn't occur and it was safe catches, no muff punts, no fumbles, we would be maybe having a different episode right now, and it wouldn't be a sad Giants are going into the bye with a loss. It would be, let's go, Giants are now another win into this bye. But that's just how it is sometimes. And it's really funny, I was watching the game with my dad, as I normally do, and he said, when he muffed that punt and he got concussed, he said this stuff like has not happened this season yet. Like, this is normally like a Giants type of mistake, or this is a Giants type of moment, like, that just Giants fans deal with us, like these unfortunate type of things in previous seasons. Alex, we haven't had like something like that happen to us this year. So it's, it's kind of bound to happen eventually, right? And it took until week eight, right? Week eight for this to happen. So, count our lucky stars here, and at least it took this long for a mistake like this to happen. But anyway, go ahead.
I mean, think about how many muff punts the Giants have capitalized on, right? In that Bears game, they capitalized on two, right? So it was given. The Giants have really been getting a lot of things going their way recently, and it was kind of a given that was eventually going to stop. In terms of Richie James, obviously those two punts ended up leading to 10 points, and obviously huge momentum swings as well. I know I saw some people saying, cut Richie James, how dare he? He gotta be gone in the morning. I don't think you can cut him, mainly because of what we just talked about for like 5-10 minutes right before talking about Richie James. We don't have a lot of receiving options, and I think Richie James is a decent option. I wouldn't recommend that he goes back and catches punts anymore. A little idea that I have, maybe put someone else back there, just a little hint to the special teams coaching staff. But I do not think the Giants should cut him because of that. Everyone has their bad days, as we know, And, you know, obviously it led, you know, definitely had an impact on today's game. But, you know, we can't, you know, let two errors define a single player, I think. So you don't want to just cut him. I think that's a little bit silly. But, yeah, I mean, just unfortunate from Richie James and just really, really bad, unlucky, you know, play from him when it comes to just holding on to the football when returning a punt.
Were you going to transition?
No, you go.
All right, well, that's what I'm going to do. Okay. I'm going to transition to the Giants defense, starting off with Leonard Williams getting his first sack of the season. So good for Leonard Williams finally getting there on the board. Obviously struggled with a injury earlier this season. Got injured today, came out, luckily came back in. He is okay, which is good. He also tied for the lead in tackles for the Giants today with two other guys, Julian Love and Tomon Fox, who had good games respectively. So 8 tackles today and a sack. So good for Leonard Williams. And then other shout out to Alex's boy, another one of Alex's boys. They both shined out today on offense and defense. Darius Lane on offense, Tomon Fox on defense with 8 tackles, 6 solo tackles. He also had 2 tackles for loss. I want to say both of them were in the run game. He was a run stuffer today against the Seattle Seahawks offense that included, what is it, Travis Homer and the starting running back, obviously, Kenneth Walker.
Don't forget about DJ Dallas.
Who?
DJ Dallas.
Had how many rushes today?
I don't know, but he was returning kicks as well. And I think he had one rush, but don't worry about it.
But anyway, besides Alex exposing his knowledge of the Seattle Seahawks depth chart, you know, Tomon Fox, I think, did a really good job against Seattle run game today. And then Leonard Williams, too. And Julian Love also tying the Giants leading in tackles for today. He had a couple nice tackles, and that's all I really remember from Julian Love, like a couple shoestring ones, getting guys down, so... Good job, Julian Love, I guess.
Yeah, and in terms of the secondary, Adoree Jackson, huge pass breakup, and he had that strip fumble and recovery, so that was good. Fabian Moreau started off strong, but then definitely got beat by just a huge beast in DK Metcalf, who was just, I think, a little bit too fast, a little bit too strong, a little bit too powerful for him, and he was able to get quite a few decent chunk plays. Overall, the secondary, I don't think it's a main issue of concern. You're not going to go up against guys like DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, where they're so different but dynamic, both of them at the same time. I think you're going to struggle with that, finding another duo kind of like that. You know, maybe in Philly, something like that, where you got Devontae Smith and AJ Brown. I think that's kind of a similar type of play, dynamic, I guess, between those two receivers. But besides that, I think, you know, you're not going to get many like that. And then I guess we'll end with positive news, right? Do you want to do that? Let's end with positive news. Despite the loss, Nick Gates returned after over a year now of that gruesome leg injury. He had an amazing recovery story, and he actually was a part of Saquon Barkley's goal line touchdown. He came in as that jumbo tight end and made a crucial block for Saquon to cross in for a touchdown.
Yeah, cross the goal line.
That was what I was looking for.
Yeah, cross the goal line and get that touchdown. I thought that was on the tip of your tongue, Alex. Yeah, Nick Gates, whatever it was, the torn or broken fibula, right, or tibia, or whatever it was 2 multiple broken things in his legs, and was able to come back after a year and play in the NFL when, you know, maybe there were question marks about if he would play or walk eventually again, which was, I remember the first thing after he originally got injured was, wow, will this guy even walk again? And he doesn't just walk, he still plays freaking NFL football. So an amazing story for Nick Gates.
I mean, if I were him and I had that injury, I would just quit football. I wouldn't even be walking around. So truly impressive what he did recovering like that.
And Saquon Barkley even said in his post-game press conference or talking with reporters, I guess, individually, whatever it was, he said that he should be nominated for the comeback player of the year. I don't know if you saw that, Alex, but obviously teammates supporting teammates there. And I think Saquon Barkley makes a great point. I mean, this is only the first game back for Nick Gates. Let's see what he can do during the rest of the season. Obviously, they were easing him back, kind of putting him in as an eligible tight end, you know, for some stuffed runs. So let's see, you know, as he gets back to hopefully full 100% healthy Nick Gates, what he can bring to this offensive line. Just another piece there, especially when this offensive line is kind of, you know, a little injured filled right now, or injury filled offensive line right now. He also, Alex, has 2 weeks to get there, right? He's got the bye week, so it's kind of a perfect time for Nick Gates to come off that pup list or off the IR, whatever you want to call it. And just finishing up with those stat lines for those Seahawks receivers, Alex, like you said, I mean, the best probably 1-2 punch at the wide receiver position in the NFL, Tyler Lockett with 5 catches for 63 yards and a touchdown. He even had that drop, wide open drop, might I add, that would have definitely went for the touchdown, so didn't even pad his stats as much as he could have. And DK Metcalf with 6 catches for 55 yards and 1 touchdown. And yeah, I mean, to end this, it really did come to getting outcoached and outplayed by a better roster and a better team in this game. Pete Carroll, historically amazing head coach for the Seattle Seahawks, and it just, they used their wide receivers, which they knew outdid the Giants' cornerback room. And, you know, that they used them in the way they could. And that's why each of them had their own touchdown. And that's that.
Yeah. And Seattle is obviously a really, really tough place to play as well. So that certainly didn't help.
I mean, the crowd is unbelievable there. So, you know, Seattle, it was a great win by them. But again, the Giants, they still go into the bye week 6-2. And it's a remarkable place that they're at with the roster that they're at because of the coaching that they have. And let's you know, keep our heads held high as Giants fans here and be happy for that. So go Giants. Let's get a few plugs in here. You can follow the podcast on Twitter and TikTok at the Giant Take Pod, on Instagram and Facebook, the Giant Take Podcast. Subscribe everywhere, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Go to shipitstudios.com/giant take to check out more places to listen. You can also rate that 5 stars and write a review if you want on Apple Podcasts, and rate us five stars on Spotify. Alex on Twitter at Annoying23. I'm on Twitter at JoshHole29. I don't know if I said that part already. I might have repeated it. Whatever. If you weren't listening or I talked too fast, it's all good. All that info will be in the description or the podcast notes. Holy crap, Alex. Again, episode 200, man. Take it in for a second here. I know we did in the beginning, but it's been a long, long, long journey. And wow, I mean, seniors in high school, 200 episodes of the Giant Take podcast. It's like, woo. And we both actually just finished college applications, like within the last couple of days too, right? You're all done?
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm all done. Time flies. We started this when we were in freshman year.
Freshman, right? In high school, and we just finished submitting college applications, recording our 200th episode of the Giant Take podcast. That's, if you told us that freshman year, by the way, that you're going to be recording episode 200 after you just submitted college apps, I think that would be like,
I would have thought you were crazier than even saying the Giants would be 6-2 by the bye week.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought you were very, very much joking. I would have said, yeah, we're doing this maybe through the summer and we'll get bored and stop.
Good 10, 15 episodes maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we had a good run while it lasted, right?
Oh my. Yeah.
All right, take it out. You got it.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to today's episode, episode 200 of the Giant Take podcast. Thank you for all your support, and we'll see you all next time for a bye week preview.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.